Welcome back, everybody, and happy new year from your friends at Geekable. Great to be back here. We have a lot to talk about that we're super excited about, comics-wise, MCU stuff. Marvel's dropping a lot at us, and it's all pretty quality. So let's get into that. We hope everyone's doing well out there. Lots of good stuff to talk about. Anas, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. I'm glad to be back. We took a little hiatus here for like the beginning of the year, but it's good to be back in action. And today we're talking about the state of comics and everything that's going on. So I'm pretty excited to talk about all the good things that's coming out, everything that we're hyped about, everything that we're not so into. And we also got some, MCU news and some tidbits to discuss as well. So yeah, I'm pretty excited. I miss you so much. I miss talking to you. I miss talking comics with you. So I'm glad to
be
back.
Me too. I know it's so good to be back. And it's just us two this episode. We're running it back. Just, Nick and Anas versus the podcast. Let's do it. Yeah, back to basics, which is a good thing. So comics right now, I'm pretty happy with what we're getting in terms of Marvel.
I am as well.
Yeah, never going to be 100%.
I would say since like Marvel Legacy, or it's been good.
Marvel Legacy, yeah, that was I was a sophomore in college at the time. I think that was a while ago. But yeah,
2018. That era was like when things started really getting picked up and like running with good series, good runs.
I'd agree.
Spotlighted again, and we had the resurrection, the whole thing. So it's a good era. It's been a good era.
Yes, I would agree with that. I will look back at this in like hopefully 30 years, and I think I would say like, yeah, this was a good time. Yeah. I truly believe that. Just to kick it off. I mean, there's a lot of news about Spider-Man. The new Spider-Man number one coming out with John Romita Jr. coming back for probably doing the interiors. I think he'll probably be like on the book.
To be honest, I'm not that excited. I'm not a big fan.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
I'm not either. I'm very excited about Zeb Wells.
He's an icon. He's a classic Spider-Man fan. Right. Love his work. So, it's good to have someone back who knows and loves the character so much, I guess.
Agreed.
But personally, style-wise, I preferred a different artist.
Yes, I kind of agree with that. Every time I think of John Romita Jr., I think of the Bendis, New Avengers with John Romita Jr. with the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah, that art was just, it just was not for me. It really, really, really was not for me. Folks.
There are so many people that appreciate and love the art of, Romita Jr. So good for them. I'm happy for them to be getting their favorite artist back on the book. But, you win some, you lose some.
Yes. And you know what? As far as a complaint goes, I mean, this isn't like I'm super pissed about it or anything. It's a nitpick. Yeah, in a way. What I'm super happy is that Zeb Wells is the head writer for Spider-Man.
Hell yes. I mean, if we lost Hellions for, it's a blood sacrifice well worth.
Yes. Agreed. Put him on Spider-Man. I'm very down for that. His humor is just so good, and his character development. Yeah. And he does. And the promo looks pretty good. It looks like Peter has some sort of device in his hand, and there's an explosion. It looks crazy.
This is starting in April, right?
Right.
Yes. But until then, right now, what we have going is Amazing Spider-Man Beyond, which is this era that's transitioned from Nick Spencer's Spider-Man to Zeb Wells' Spider-Man. And it's a pretty interesting storyline so far. I'm enjoying it personally. All the different writers picking up different issues and doing different things with it. So for those who are not well versed in what's going on right now, basically in Amazing Spider-Man Beyond, Peter goes into a coma, and Ben Reilly, aka the Scarlet Spider, aka Spider-Man's clone, takes over the mantle of Spider-Man, working with the Beyond Corporation. And there's lots of secrets going on. There's lots of, little tidbits. There's a lot of Ben Reilly trying to earn the title and the name of Spider-Man. But at the same time, Beyond Corporation is like, we copyrighted the name. So now even Miles can't use that name.
Yeah.
And I've been enjoying the book. It's really given, it let a lot of different characters shine. It let Aunt May shine. It let MJ and Black Cat shine.
Otto is shining. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. The tie-ins like matter too with the story, which is kind of fun. Like you need to read the tie-ins for Tim Allen. And not that there's a million tie-ins.
A one-shot coming for Black Cat and Mary Jane.
Yeah, yeah.
That's coming out maybe in the next couple of weeks. So if you're interested in picking up Spider-Man, if you've watched No Way Home and you want to see, you know, you want to pick up a Spider-Man book, I would say Beyond is a good starting point because it's very, you know, welcoming to new readers. There's not a lot going on that you wouldn't be familiar with, even if right. you don't know who Ben Reilly is. All you really need to know is that he's a clone of Peter and he struggles with his sense of worth.
Yes, still does struggle with it. Yeah. Yeah, that which is kind of the best part about having him. But looking forward to what's next for Spider-Man and what's, you know, unfolding right now in the pages of Amazing Spider-Man. Really fun stuff. Switching gears to what I would consider fun as well is the death of Doctor Strange.
Loving, how are you liking that? Loving this event, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I'm loving the one-shots more than the actual event, to be honest, just because interesting to see the fallout of what the death of Doctor Strange does to the Marvel Universe. You've got, you've got Elsa Bloodstone, you've got everybody dealing with these ramifications, and it's so good.
I agree. How fun was that? The Black Cat one?
Oh, yeah. I love that.
That was fun. I like that. Yeah, Jed MacKay is just probably one of the best writers of 2021, I would say. He did a lot of work. Yeah. A lot of
and his good whole stuff. Black Cat Infinity Heist run was top notch, start to end.
Really good. Really good. Agreed. Yeah, I'm excited to see. I don't know when the last issue comes out, but should be in the next couple of weeks.
Number 5 does come out in January, so it's definitely in the next couple of weeks. And we wrap up this event with the introduction of a new Doctor Strange who is going to pick up the mantle. And it's going to be, well, spoiler alert, but I guess it's been announced at this point. So
it's been announced,
Yeah, Clea, the ex-wife of Doctor Strange, is going to be the new Sorcerer Supreme.
Right. Yeah, which I just trust Jed MacKay. So hopefully he can make Clea interesting because I was never a Clea fan ever.
Me neither, to be honest. I'm not a fan of the choice that they picked up for it. I would have rather someone else take up the mantle. I enjoyed it.
When more predictable.
He was Sorcerer Supreme for a while. That was really fun.
That was fun. I like that. I like that. Yeah, I was down for like a predictable person like Magic or even like Wanda.
Come on,
I was
like down. Magic. That What If one shot with Magic as Sorcerer
Supreme.
People
loved that.
I love that. People loved that. The art on that was beautiful.
Yeah, the art for all those was really good, honestly. That'll be fun. We'll see what he does with Clea. It's interesting though, because, you know, just to put the cherry on top for this, Clea is currently the Sorcerer Supreme of the Dark Dimension, where Dormammu's from.
That's true.
So, it'll be interesting to see how she manages both dimensions. I don't know. We'll see.
And it's interesting to see how they're going to bring back Doctor Strange, because if you've read a comic book, you know that he's going to come back in like 6 months or so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he'll be back in less than 2 years. You know, something really dire is happening, and it's just
Moving on, if you've watched Spider-Man No Way Home and you've watched Hawkeye and you're excited about the return of, spoiler alert, Daredevil and Wilson Fisk to the MCU, I would highly recommend you pick up Devil's Reign, because it is one of the best events going on at Marvel Comics.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Why don't you tell the listeners what's Devil's Reign? What's going on?
Oh, man, it's so good. It's so good. The team behind the book is just outstanding too. Chip Zdarsky, Mark Shaketo on art. This is a great event for people who are new and people who've been reading for a while, because it seems like next issue, you know, Wilson Fisk has files on everybody. And so he's going to go back into things that have happened in continuity, like when the Fantastic Four did this and when people did this, or when Daredevil or Spider-Man killed someone, and he's just going to start exposing stuff and exposing them to the public. And it's such a street level feel too. Like, you know, you have Captain America not, you know, punching like a celestial in the face. Like, you have like Captain America like saving an old lady from a burning building. And it's just like how it's all being affected in New York City. Oh, it's so good.
So good.
It's so, good.
Basically, Wilson, as the mayor of New York City, is also outlawing every single superhuman. He doesn't want anybody in spandex.
That's the basis. Yeah.
And he has employed a bunch of villains, put them in Thunderbolt outfits and sent them after the heroes. And he's just ruining their lives. You have
yeah.
Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Daredevil. They're all dealing with this event. And also like big names as well, like Spider-Woman and Spider-Woman and Iron Man. They're also dealing with this, with what's going on as well. And
right.
These books are going so back far in continuity that they're bringing up stuff that happened in 2005 with like Secret Invasion and bringing them back now in 2022. So you have like, Spider-Woman dealing with her past enemies and ghosts that happened decades ago. And it's so good to see. It's very satisfying for a long time reader, but it's also enjoyable for a new time reader. So if you want to get into Daredevil, I would say this is a good starting point. Only thing you should know is that Matt was in prison for a while and Elektra took up the mantle of Daredevil, and now she is the Woman Without Fear. And that's also a nice series that's going on alongside this event as well. So
yes,
I would say definitely pick it up.
Yes, very well said. It's just such a strong story. I can't wait to see where it goes. I honestly have been preaching and saying this for a while. I think it'll be one of the better events of like the past like 10 years. Probably. I really feel like it'll be like a top
three.
If
they stick the landing, they just have to stick the landing. Marvel has a great thing of like, Marvel does great premise, great buildup, but then they just screw it up at the end and it's so predictable all the time and it's so boring. So if they actually have big ramifications for this event, like they did with Original Sin, I would be happy.
Yeah. And you know, like when you say that, like, it's almost like you're adding King in Black, because I felt like that the ending was not good. It was not good. Oh, but it was such a good everything else.
The Realms. Come on. That was such a buildup for that horrible event.
People didn't like that. People did not like
all
that.
All respect
event.
To Jason Aaron and his work that he did.
Yes.
War
yes.
of the Realms
but,
was no.
Yeah, I agree.
I was waiting.
It was no.
Like what, 2014 for this buildup? And
yeah,
it was very anticlimactic. That's all I'll say.
Was it 2014? Wow, we were little kids.
That's when we had the Mighty Thor. Jane Foster took up the mantle of Thor in 2014, and that was the buildup.
Even before that, I think it was what? Was it like 2013, which is
Or
the God Butcher?
The God Butcher, yeah.
That's insane.
So to have all that buildup, like 5-7 years of buildup, and to that to culminate in War of the Realms, that was so like it was such a letdown.
Yeah,
we had such
a letdown. It was a letdown. It happens, but it was a letdown. Something that I think wasn't really a letdown was the Timeless one shot that we just got.
Is it a one shot? I thought it's gonna be a mini series.
It's just a one shot. The mini series was the Kang, which is kind of like the prelude of sorts, which I thought was still thought that was good. A little tough to follow his, but I loved it. Oh my God, Magno is so good. He's so good.
If you've watched
Timeless
Loki and you're excited to see what, you know, Kang the Conqueror is and you want to get to know him, especially that he's going to be appearing in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, that Kang miniseries is a great starting point to get to know who this villain is. And the Timeless one shot was also beautiful.
Yes, it was. And it's going to, you know, it kind of shows things that are going to happen in the Marvel Universe coming. Very good, especially that last page. Like, spoiler alert, because it's been out for a while, but Mr. Miracle is coming to the Marvel Universe. And that's pretty much the closest thing I feel like Marvel could do to like a sort of Watchmen sort of, you know, how they came to the DC Universe and Doomsday Clock. This is kind of like the closest thing they could do to
Marvel
that, I think, in a way.
Conan back into their universe as well, like Savage Avengers and things like that. So
good point.
Like, yeah, but it's not as big as Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, this is gonna be cool. I'm very excited for that.
So we've talked about this book so many times here. If you've been listening, if you're new listening, please go back and check out our episode with Kelly Thompson, because her run on Black Widow, her Eisner winning run on Black Widow, is so fucking good. It is a must read for people who love Natasha, for people who are indifferent about Natasha, for people who don't know shit about Natasha. This Black Widow run is the run to get into, honestly. It is.
Agreed.
I would go as far as say this is the single best Black Widow series that we've had.
Definitive. 100%.
Definitive. It is the Black Widow series. And it's on 13 issues right now. And this next arc that's starting right now, oh my God, it seems to be so exciting. I love that 13th issue, the flashback. Beautiful.
I think it's just so good. It's so straightforward.
Yes.
It's just, it's so, you know, it doesn't really revolve around her past Red Room bullshit. It's just like, this is like current. It feels modern and new. Exactly. It's a fresh.
And it also like tugs about like the little strings of her past with like Yelena and the villains that she deals with that are like trying to sabotage her. But also, as you said, it's current. It's fresh. It's a new take on Black Widow, and it's a great one.
Yes. And it won an Eisner. So there, let's throw that in there. Yeah.
Critics says a lot. Have called it.
Yeah. Yeah. The critics. Yeah. Critics and fans. You know, next up we have is a limited series. I think it's only going to be 5 issues, but Captain America, Iron Man. I read the first issue, probably won't get the rest. Did you read it?
I did. This series, continuation of the Falcon and Winter Soldier Falcon and Winter Soldier miniseries.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why that Madame Hydra storyline probably didn't make sense to you, but if you have read that miniseries, this is like a direct continuation of that. And honestly, I'm not a huge fan. I didn't love that miniseries. I'm not loving this issue that I've read so far. But you know, if you're a fan of Captain America, if you're a fan of Iron Man, or you know, Sam Wilson and Winter Soldier, these two books could be you know, for you. They feature Hydra heavily. It's all about who's gonna rule Hydra next after I forgot who the last person was ruling Hydra, but it's just, you know, it's
Gorgon.
Yes. So it could be interesting if you're a fan of those characters, but for us personally, like, you know, different strokes for different folks, it's not really for us.
Yeah.
But what is for us is Inferno.
Oh, Inferno. So good. Oh, Jonathan Hickman, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you so much. Oh, all right. Let's get into, I just have a question for you. What did you think of the whole Magneto Professor X versus Nimrod and the Omega Sentinel? I think she was called. Yeah.
It was so good. It was satisfying. It was well executed. It made sense as a fight sequence and everything. But unfortunately, like, I'll say this, if you are a new reader and you want to get into X-Men, Inferno is not the way to go. Like, it is deep into the Krakoan lore right now. We are 2 years almost into this universe. And so you really want to have to, like, you have to go back. You have to go read House of X, Powers of 10, and then make your way through to get to Inferno. But I promise you, it's a satisfying conclusion to this arc, you know?
Yes, it is.
It's good. There's, like, lots of revelations, lots of small things that have been building up for the past 2 years that have now all blossoming. And I, as an X-Men fan, as an X-Men reader, I'm very happy with it.
Oh, so good. I'm just like thinking of everything that's happening. Like, it's so good. And I cannot wait for Kieran Gillen's Immortal X-Men to pick up where this left off.
Oh my God. I'm like, that's my,
it's just going to be secrets. Yeah. They should just like title it like X-Men Secrets. And that, cause that's like what it's just going to be. Oh, it's going to be so good. It's going to be so open.
Everything's going to get exposed. Marvel's like really been saying, like, and this is their No Secrets era, like Devil's Reign and now Immortal X-Men. They're just like, nobody.
Yeah, really?
Everything's out in the open.
I know. It's crazy. It's fun. Oh, I can't wait. Inferno was honestly like a 5 out of 5. It was just so cinematic. It felt so cinematic. You know, it was so good. Shang-Chi, are you reading Shang-Chi?
I am reading Shang-Chi, yeah.
You are? Okay. I stopped. Like, I told you that.
I would say the third miniseries, but it turned into a continuing because it was supposed to end at issue 6, but it now continuing with issue 7. You know, I watched the movie. I love the character. I was so excited to actually read comics with this character. I wouldn't say this is the one to go because it is vastly different from the...
Okay.
The movie, but I will say that issue 7 does bring it closer to the cinematic universe because it introduces like Shangri-La and Talo and those terms and those universes. So it gets like it's making its way to the movie universe, I would say. So if you want to read it, I would say Shang-Chi issue 7 is probably a good starting point for new readers, and you skip the ones before, like you don't need to really know about
it. Yeah, do you have the rings? Does he have the rings in this series or not?
No, he doesn't have the rings. He's just the head of the Five Weapon Society, and that's about it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, interesting. Maybe on a rainy day, I'll go back and read that. But, you know, it sounds good. But something that just closed out that I thought was honestly a pretty good, I didn't like the tie-ins, but I thought the Alpha and Omega issue was pretty good, was the Darkhold.
It was an interesting like alternate universe, you know, like Elseworlds kind of story. So it's very
for the tie-ins.
It was very standalone. You don't need to know much about these characters or their backstories or what's going on in current continuity, because it's very, like, as I said, standalone. But it's an interesting, you know, magic book. If you're a fan of Wanda, if you're a fan of Doctor Doom, this is, you know, a book for you, I would say.
Right. I agree. It was cool to see, you know, C'thone, you know, kind of spoiler alert, but, like, you know, you don't really see him ever. So it was good to find, like, kind of see him as a character. I liked it.
Are you the Marvels?
So I started and I cut it.
I never started reading it.
Yeah, I think it's ending at issue 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see myself really, you know, and there's characters I like in it. I just wasn't a fan of the writing, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like, so I don't really have
third series in this, like, Marvel's series. There was, like, Marvel's X, and there was the, like, Marvel Snapshot or something like that. They've been doing it for a while.
Don't have too much to say, but Kurt Busiek's writing it. He's a legend. I don't know what it is. I just couldn't really get into it, but something that I am really into is the current Thor run.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, we said Inferno was, it had a cinematic feel, the writing style. I think Thor does too. 100%.
Yeah. And it really,
it's very good.
A fresh take on Thor. We've seen Thor, you know, go up and down, and down, you know, on a roller coaster ride for the past few years. And these stories, they really, like, feel fresh despite everything that he's
been
through. And they bring back some older villains. They bring back some older, you know, trials and tribulations that Thor is currently experiencing. And I think it's a good pick, you know, starting point for a new Thor fan. I will say it's very different from what you're, you know, aware, like, what you're familiar with in the Avengers books or the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is a very different Thor. This is King Thor, who was like,
yeah, I like that you said that.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yes, that's the best part, because it's like, I feel the stress of Thor. Like, you know, every character is always stressed out that you're right. Spider-Man's always stressed out. You know, any character, but, like, this Thor book, like, you feel stressed out.
It's a heavy book.
It's a heavy book. Excellent. Like, I would go as far as saying, like, very close to a 5 out of 5. You know, it hits really well.
We also have, like, a bunch of X books going on right now. The title is, like, you know, mainly X-Men. And as I mentioned before, when we were talking about Inferno, if you want to get into these books, technically you can pick up the first, like, the number one and get into it. A lot of those stories do, like, go on in their own little ways. Like, Marauders is pretty standalone, I would say. So is Excalibur and New Mutants. The current X-Men run that's going on, it's not my favorite. I'm just going to put it out there. It's not my favorite. It's been 7 issues so far and nothing happened.
Okay. Like, we're going to talk about it, but I have the same feelings for the new Moon Knight series. Everyone's really? Like, oh, the Moon Knight series is so good.
I feel like it hasn't gone anywhere, but it's also, like, it's building up a lot of good things.
Okay. You think it's built up? Okay.
It's a build up. It's a slow burn. I feel like, we have a new, what's the name of the god that he worships?
Khonshu or Kanoshu. Khonshu,
yeah. So we have a new, like, servant of Khonshu called the Hunter Knight, or, you know, Hunter Moon Hunt, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have a very grounded take on Moon Knight. He's not out there fighting big bads. He's just, like, he wants to protect his neighborhood. And I'm curious to see if this is going to play into the MCU debut of Moon Knight that is allegedly coming in March 30th.
Yes. And I think it's a very safe bet. I truly do.
Because unless you're able to say, like, oh no, the comics and the, you know, aren't affected by what's going to go happen in the MCU.
They are. It always does. Yeah, it always. I used to be like, no, they keep it set. They really don't. So we'll see, but
Moon Knight, like, the 7th issue is literally, like, borrowing elements from the movies, and it's getting closer to the MCU. So
really,
yeah,
they said that. Yeah,
they did that.
Embrace it. Oh yeah, yeah. I like that. That would make me buy the book, to be totally honest.
Yeah. So if that's why I'm saying, if you want to get into Shang-Chi, pick up issue number 7, because it's the closest thing you'll get.
Oh, That's why you were saying it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. As far as X-Men goes, I have to disagree a little. I think it's okay. It definitely needs to pick up a bit more.
No, it's not bad by any means. I like the whole
Capricorn
thing.
Yes.
I like that.
The yeah, me too.
Like Avengers level big team and celebrities, but I want something to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I, you know, it goes back to like the whole voting thing with Polaris. Like I don't feel like that vote was like, I feel like we haven't gotten too much. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm more on your level with that.
22 X-Men votes.
So I voted for Gorgon is who I voted for. Yeah, I did. Who'd you vote for?
Who do you think?
I don't have the list up in front of me, so I kind of forget. But
I voted for Surge.
Surge. Okay.
Because I'm a huge fan of New X-Men Academy X.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, great vote.
Apparently, like Firestar is taking the lead by a long shot.
She's gonna win.
Yeah, I think M is like right there. Like M or Penance is like second.
Yes.
Fighter, but Firestar is gonna win, and I'm kind of not that excited about it because we already have Sunspot on the team.
I agree. It's kind of redundant a little bit. Yeah, completely agree.
I don't need fire-based superheroes on the same team.
Yeah, when we posted that on Instagram, a lot of people said that. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. And obviously, like she's going to win because I feel like she's extremely popular. You know,
it's I don't understand the popularity. Like, I
don't either.
Outside of either. The 1960s Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends cartoon.
Right. Yeah, she's been in a few things. Like, she was in Kurt Busiek's and George Perez's Avengers run. But other than that, where has she been? I don't know.
Interesting choice. It's a choice.
It's a choice. And I, you know, every one of these people are justified. Like, I feel like every one of the characters you could pick from is pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's who I voted for. Gorgon's not going to win, but, and Surge isn't going to win. So we'll settle for Firestar and hopefully we'll have fun with her. But, you know, going forward, I mean, Dark Ages, is that done yet?
No, it's currently going, and it's. I think there's two issues left, but Dark Ages is Tom Taylor's last Marvel book for the foreseeable future.
Foreseeable future. I don't think he's done like, for know, good.
It's his farewell song. It's his siren song.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Are you reading it? You mentioned you read the first issue only.
I read the first issue, and then I was like, you know what? I might just try to find these for like a dollar when they're cheaper. Okay. Because, you know, it's kind of like you can read it whenever it's an Elseworlds.
It's a very standalone story. For those listening, it's
but I liked it.
Just a massive EMP goes off in the Marvel Universe. Everything technologically advanced is, you know, nullified. And it's like medieval superheroes, basically. It's the Dark Ages. It's the new Dark Ages.
Yeah.
The superhero age. And it's a fun take on these characters. It's very fun. Spider-Man has a kid. You know, a lot of the characters are aged up to be adults now. Like Valeria Richards is like basically grown up. So if you know, if you want just like a small read, very standalone, you don't want to get into anything too heavy, I would say Dark Ages is a good point to go.
Yeah. And you know what I really love about Tom Taylor and why I'll miss his work on Marvel? He like understands powers so well.
Mm-hmm.
So well. It's amazing. Happy for DC fans. They definitely needed a W by getting Tom Taylor exclusive over there. So I'm happy for them because they needed him.
It seems like we're getting Bendis back, I guess.
What?
Isn't Bendis's exclusivity contract with DC almost up?
Oh, it might be almost up. I don't know if I don't know if he's right at Marvel again. I don't know.
He would love to come back and do like Miles or Ironheart or Jessica Jones. These are his babies, you know?
Yeah, they are. They are. I don't know. I don't know what his thoughts are on coming back. I mean, I don't know. I know when he left, he was kind of like, you know, I don't think I'm going to be back type thing.
But they always say that, you know?
They do. And then they always come back, you know, like I think Hickman will come back one day.
Oh, Hickman is definitely coming back.
Yeah. But he's like a full-on DC guy.
He's not going to come back and do like a big take as he did with like the Krakoan age. I feel like he's gonna come back in a smaller role, maybe just like do a mini series like Inferno.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
His roots didn't get out.
Yeah. I mean, think about all he's done. He's done like the big three. Like he did the Fantastic Four. He did the X-Men. He did the two Avengers books.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that really would be the, you know, would be like Spider-Man. And that would be like the full Marvel.
I just like blanked out when I thought about Hickman doing a Spider-Man book. Can you even imagine what that would be like?
Oh man, I really don't know. I mean, I'm sure it'd be awesome, but that's like the last thing. He's done so many characters in a way. Yeah. He's done like every character, you know, like in a way. I mean, Infinity and Secret War,
so he had every character at his disposal.
Right. Yeah. Marvel gave him the keys, and that was like one of the best things they did. Oh, we could talk about Hickman forever. Yeah. I mean, you know, also going forward, you know, on the same path of the FF is the Fantastic Four Reckoning War. Are you excited for that?
I am excited to see where it's going to go. This FF book has been hit or miss for me.
Some I kind of agree.
Super fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some arcs have been really good. Some arcs, not so much. I love the Infinity Gate arc. That was really fun.
That was fun.
Bentley arc right now that they're going through, the whole law procedures.
Filler.
Yeah, very filler. I think it's like a filler until they get to Reckoning War.
Right. Which is okay. People need to understand that like filler arcs are, you know, they need to happen.
Yeah, like, but they need to be good as well.
That too, like the whole like the wizard in court. I was like, this was like a one shot. This, you know,
Reckoning War is that they're saying it's like 15 years in the making, and that
it is, but it isn't. Okay, he's
I have
like
no idea what's gonna happen.
I don't either. I don't either, which is exciting.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be big. I think it will be actually pretty good. I don't think Dan Slott will drop the ball. I think it will actually be pretty good. But we'll see. We'll see. Time will tell.
We have also a fun mini series that's going on right now for Kate Bishop. So if you've watched the show and you want to read some Kate, she's got her own series going on right now. It introduces her sister that we have not met in the comics before. And it's pretty classic Kate. It's like Kate straight out of the TV, straight out of the comics. It's the Kate we all know and love. It's very like self-contained. So if you want to pick up and read some Kate Bishop after watching Hawkeye, that book is like the one to go to, I would say.
Yeah, it seems like and I don't say this in a bad way, but it seems like a predictable kind of
book. Very basic Kate. Yeah, it doesn't take
her anything. Very basic.
It doesn't do anything like outstanding. It's not my favorite Kate book ever, I would say. Like Kate Bishop book is Kelly Thompson's, obviously, when she took her to the East Coast. Yeah. And I missed that, you know, West Coast, sorry. Yeah. She went West. That arc, but this one's, it's fun. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine. I probably never read it, but Kate is just Kate. I really want to see a Young Avengers book with her on it. I'll buy that. Same. But a Kate standalone thing, probably not for me. It depends on the team, but you know, a lot of shakeups happening right now. You know, Kate's new book is out. Something else that's coming out, which is going to be new and probably, you know, more redefining, which we talked about in our podcast with writer Steve Orlando. You can check that out. But yeah, we have, you know, a new Marauders series coming out, which is going to be ignited by a one shot by Steve Orlando, which I am kind of excited for.
It's going to have Cassandra Nova. Enough said.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's crazy, huh? See, right? That's the type of like, that's the hook right there. Like,
that's the hook.
I'm in. You know, I really wasn't down for more Marauders until I saw that, to be totally honest. Like, I was like, this book kind of lost. It was losing steam, wasn't it? I don't know how many issues we went, 28 or something. Yeah. It's too much. It was too much.
We're launching with a new number one. So it's an easy starting off point for anyone who's a fan of, you know, the team. There's Kate Bishop, there's going to be Storm, there's going to be Cassandra Nova, and
I don't think Storm is Storm on it.
Is Storm not on it?
I don't think so, because she's in X-Men Red.
Right. Yeah, she's moving on to X-Men Red.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Tempo's on it. Bishop.
Right.
A few other good characters. Solid cast. Solid cast. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. Cassandra Nova, though, that's the reason why I'm buying it. No other reason. So. Yeah. We'll see where that goes.
For anyone, you know, excited about Ms. Marvel's show coming out this year, she has a new miniseries that's coming out right now. Unfortunately, I stopped this a lot in Ahmed, Ms. Marvel book that I was really enjoying. But now she has a book called Ms. Marvel Beyond the Limit. Only two issues have come out so far. The second issue came out this past Wednesday. And it's not my favorite, I'll be honest. But
okay.
I guess it's
I was wondering what your thoughts were.
Marvel fans, because it reintroduces her to the world. And it also canonizes the fact that she cannot shapeshift anymore, which I thought was very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
So in the book, right now her powers are on the fritz. And they mentioned, like, they really, like, nailed the point so many times that she used to shapeshift, now she can't anymore.
You think they're pushing that because of the Disney Plus show rumors? 100%.
Because of the Disney, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I wouldn't be surprised if this book ends with her power set completely changing and her being to suddenly project purple constructs.
Okay. moving on from that. Interesting. Interesting. Wow. Okay. It just doesn't fit right with me, but that's okay. We'll see where it goes. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Savage Avengers, a series that I really enjoyed. I think it went on for 28 issues. 28. Yeah, long run. Had some great moments. I think it was a lot of fun. It was Savage. It was a Savage Avengers book. You know, you had some drama. You had some good action. You had Conan the Barbarian, who I have never really liked. I thought he was okay in the series. Yeah, I was about it. It was mostly a Conan Avengers show, you know, series, which, yeah, it was good. It was a reliable, action-packed series. Pat Zercher on art, so good. So good. The interior work for that, so good. Jerry Dugan's writing, excellent. Yeah, it'll be missed, but it lived its time. And yeah, you know, Conan is no longer in the 616 universe timeline. So yeah, they booted him out. He's back, which I think is kind of cool. But yeah, so okay. It's over. Yeah, it'll be missed.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Closing out, we have a bunch of new number ones starting this month. We have a new event by Benjamin Percy. It's going to be the X Deaths and 10 Lives of Wolverine.
Yeah.
And which is going to be a big story for Wolverine. It's going to be a weekly.
The biggest ever, supposedly.
Biggest ever, yeah, allegedly. We'll see. Yes.
Yes.
And they've been hyping it up for a while. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Me too.
We have Silk starting off with a new number one after the acclaimed, I would say, Maureen Gu miniseries that we both loved so much. And we had Maureen Gu on the show to talk about it. I missed that book. I wish Maureen was back, but it's coming back with a different creator. It's coming back with Emily Kim, but the same artist, Takeshi, is still going to be on the art.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought so too.
We have a Silver Surfer miniseries that's coming out, Silver Surfer Rebirth that's coming out also in the next couple of weeks. We have Sabretooth, we have She-Hulk. It's a good year, I would say, to start picking up new books. If you want to get
I agree.
Place, yeah, now is the time.
Yes, probably. You maybe have a window for...
Scary, but you know what? We're here for you. Yeah. Like, we are your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
You can come to us. You can be like, I love this character. I want to read this character. And we'll be like, here's a reading guide. And this is it. We'll tell you everything you need to know. So you can go to your comic book shop and pick up a new book and just enjoy the comics.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'd say you have a window from like January to April or May to really, like, you know, sit down and get some new number ones, which is great. But yeah, that's pretty much all the series that we had to just, like, you know, dump for the new year and talk about and give our short thoughts on.
All just in January. Like, these comics that we've discussed have all been coming out in the past 3 weeks. And it's going to come out in the remainder of this month. So it's a big month for comics, especially with
Marvel. Yeah, it is. And it's only going to get bigger.
You can touch on DC or Image or all the indie stuff that's coming out. There's so much good stuff coming out right now. So
if
you need any recommendations, if you want to get into something, we're here for you at Geekable_podcast. We're more than happy to help. We love chatting with you. We love talking to you. And it's going to be a good year, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, yeah, that was a fun breakdown of some of the comics that are going to be coming out that we'll be reading shortly. And you will definitely be getting our thoughts on, which we are super excited to be diving into. But yeah, you know, everyone, thank you so much. This is, again, we took a little hiatus for 2 weeks. It's great to be back, you know, talking with you guys again. Thank you for spending some time with us. If you are a new listener, we hope you'll join us for future episodes and check out some of our previous stuff. And if you are an old time listener, thank you so much for coming back and spending some more time with us. Really appreciate it. Always a great time. Anyone who's new or if you've been listening to us, please go follow us on @geekable_podcast. That's our Instagram handle where we're constantly talking about new comics, MCU news, all that great, exciting stuff that's coming our way basically daily. So please shoot us a follow and, you know, talk with us. We'd love to hear your thoughts. So yeah, till next week, everyone, where we have very special guests joining us.
I'm excited. Let's not spoil it. Let's keep the surprise.
Ah, okay. Okay. Well, you will know very shortly who the guest is. It's probably one of our biggest guests that we've had, which is a great way to start out the new year. So we will see you then. And everyone have a great week. Stay safe and stay warm. See you.